वेलकम टू द इक्विटी सहिया पॉडकास्ट विद मोतीलाल ओसवाल एसेट मैनेजमेंट कंपनी। दिस पॉडकास्ट विल डेल्व इनटू द इन्वेस्टमेंट इनसाइट्स एंड फिलोसफीज ऑफ मोतीलाल ओसवाल एसेट मैनेजमेंट कंपनी एंड स्पीक अबाउट द फ्रेमवर्क्स यूज्ड बाय देम टू असेस वेरियस सेक्टर्स फॉर इन्वेस्टमेंट। And welcome back to this episode of Equity Sahi Hai, brought to you by Motilal Oswal Asset Management Company. My guest, Ramdev Agrawal, co-founder at the Motilal Oswal Group. In the first part, we spoke about the entire journey of Ramdev ji from when he did his education right till when he founded his firm. In this second part, we're going to talk about how Motilal Oswal was built. Today, it has a presence across almost every segment in, you know, from wealth management to mutual funds. And we're going to talk about other stuff, which is more practical to all our listeners. Ramdev ji, 2001. Stock market पूरा बिखरा हुआ है, you know, no, I remember that time. Nobody was interested in the markets at all. I think, you know, someone like you would probably look upon that as an opportunity.
Yeah.
Let's just walk through from there to today, how you built the rest of Motilal Oswal.
Yeah. So I didn't know anything. I mean, I was good for nothing except for the stock market.
Okay.
So I couldn't have. So in 2002-03, when the collapse happened, first year was not so bad, but 9/11 was also okay. After that, what happened was that there was actually a recessionary condition in the economy.
Yeah.
We actually incurred loss in 2002 or something for 2-3 months.
Mm.
And that time, it is still a scar in my mind. I cut salary of the employees.
Oh.
About 15-20 lakhs we saved. And that was the turning point. And I was wondering whether we are in the right, wrong profession or something like that. But I said, we are known. We are so good in what we do. Though we are small by that, at that time India was very small. Actually, it is funny. I mean, the total revenue was 10 crores and profit was 2 crores. Wow. Of Motilal Oswal. So, and we are still kind of a known figure. I said, let me fund it. Mm-hmm. Let me fund the entire losses and someday it will turn around. So, a little depressed, talking to Sanjay, this guy, that guy, everybody pepping me up. Ramdev, continue. Mm-hmm. There is no problem. And then mother of all the bull run
started, yeah.
2003.
Yeah.
And that time, the revenue was doubling at literally every year. Mm. So, Motilal Oswal grew from 10 crore and 2 crores profit to 1,000 crores and 300 crores profit in 4 years.
Wow.
So, 2003 to 2007 or 2008, say 5 years.
Yeah.
That was a kind of expansion phase. Yeah. And it was actually India coming to the world.
Yeah.
You know, this collapse.
Yeah.
We started hosting a conference in New York,
yeah,
with Bear Stearns, yeah, and very first year we got 700 whites gore aa gaye, matlab like
investors kya India,
kya India, what is it India? And all Mohandas Pai and all were there. They said, Ramdev, you have arrived, you know. I said, boss, how do you handle them?
Yeah.
You know, so then FI started coming in here. And and we were that time, this all these hedge fund guys,
yeah,
young guys, $1 billion,
yeah,
$500 million, and yeah, rapidly transiting. All these conventional brokers like Morgan Stanley, and they were with long only.
Correct.
But all, yeah, the hedge fund, they loved us.
Yeah.
So when I used to go to say New York or Hong Kong and all, we used to start the first meeting at 7:30 in the morning, and used to finish it by 10:30 after dinner.
Wow.
And I used to go and crash in my room. My colleagues, you know, they would go to the next room, open the Bloomberg, and they start trading. Because by that time, they would have collected $100 to $200 million order during the day.
India opens at that time in the night.
Yeah, yeah. So reverse.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the momentum, 2003 to 2008. I think it was amazing time what really happened.
Mm.
Then in 2008, we got listed for $1 billion,
yeah,
which again had to crash.
Yeah.
It crashed to 200, 250 million.
Yeah.
And then we had become serious corporate, listed,
sure.
About $150, $200 million balance sheet. And then we realized that this broking is a very cyclical business.
So standalone, just broking standalone is very cyclical.
Very cyclical. Yeah. So we said, let's find something which works 365 days.
Yeah.
So that was asset management.
Correct.
So we took license of asset management 2008 or 2009. We got the license. But we launched ETF, fundamentally enhanced ETF, way ahead of time,
right,
which didn't work. For 5 years.
Yeah, 2009 so. ETF. And basically, you're 10 years ahead of your time.
Yes, 10 ahead of time. So, 5 years, 6 years, again we invested. In 2014, we again started launching our active funds.
Right.
PMS and mutual funds.
Yeah.
And that time, I was managing about 1,500 crores in 2014.
Right.
I mean, suddenly this entire thing had to change, and we started getting money. Our products were performing very well. We grew from 1500 to 37,000-38,000 crores today.
Wow, in 5 years.
In 5 years.
Amazing.
So, wow. You know,
20 times.
See,
yeah.
So there are a lot of lessons. I mean, you cannot foresee these things to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to just keep doing what you love, what you like, take care of the clients, and all this magic happened.
Great.
So this catapulted us into becoming almost $2-3 billion company.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
I mean, at the peak, I think it was 15,000-18,000 crores valuation. So, which again kind of is now corrected.
Sure.
So this has been the, what do you call?
The journey
journey so far, a lot of excitement.
In the middle, you also moved from Nariman Point to this.
Yeah.
To
so every 7 years, my home address, my office address, everything changes.
Acha, every 7 years.
7-8 years, it
kind
changes.
Kind of times with this market cycle also.
Kind of way.
Economic
kind of.
Cycle.
Yeah.
This building is how many years old now?
This is 8 years old.
8 years old.
So
already.
Full.
Amazing. So let's try and get some learnings here. I think the one thing that obviously sticks out with people who are new to the stock markets, what they want to understand is, I think, two sides of the story. First, obviously, is the bad side, which is how do you survive drawdowns?
Mm.
You know, how do you go through these cycles which shake your belief in equities? You've seen through this. You've seen the 92 crash after Harshad Mehta, the 2001 crash after Y2K, the 2008 crash after the recession or the global financial crisis. People are talking about a crisis happening now also, because apparently, you know, the indicators are not looking good. What kind of mental makeup do we need, you know, to survive this and stay with your conviction?
I think, I mean, if I look back, one of the things is that I had a running company called Motilal Oswal. So this was generating at different point of time, different kind of profits. Now it makes about 500-600 crores profit. So I was never fearful if my portfolio goes to zero, what happens to me?
Mm.
I was never fearful. And in any case, I found one thing, that nothing goes to zero if you have bought it reasonably well in the stock market. It's all quotational loss. The concept of quotational loss, I heard again from Buffett, that downs are temporary and ups are permanent types. You know, so 100 rupees will come down to 70 or 67 or depending
whatever
on
it is,
the
yeah.
drawdown.
Yeah.
And then again, it comes back and see the businesses. See, businesses, they start very small. And they, I mean, like HDFC Bank, it starts, opens the door with one branch and at Worli. And from there, it becomes thousands of branches.
Yeah.
And from that 1,000 crores listed, today it is a 6.5 lakh crore bank and still growing at rapid pace.
Correct.
So this I could understand as an entrepreneur, that there's no straight line. And yet the small beginning, one seed you show of a successful business, that grows like a big tree, banyan tree types.
Right.
You know, so I knew that, and it takes time. So if it is down and the company is all right, I'm not fearful by the quotational loss.
Right.
I don't feel good
right.
if I bought at 1,000, something is at 800.
Yeah, obviously.
It saddens me, but but I'm not scared.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So just be brave, I guess. Second thing is the opposite side.
Yeah.
Irrational valuations. There are so many stocks today, you know, particularly in the BFSI space, trading at some six times book.
Yeah.
So how does one evaluate out here? Does one get greedy? Does one sell? Does one refuse to do anything? How does one evaluate the other side of the equation?
Yeah. So handling overvaluation in the market is a big problem, because they are very popular. They're very successful companies and they're literally blue chips.
Yeah.
You know, so how much of it you should have? How do you avoid them? So few things work. One is that I would not buy very overvalued company. Very expensive company, I would not initiate buying. But if I have bought one at very low price and it has become very expensive, I may be much more, you know, kind of considerate in terms of, particularly if the growth potential is ahead. So if I see 25% growth for next 5 years and today it is trading at, say, 75p, I may still hold on to some and say that, okay, I'll earn 15%, not 25%, but I'll hold on to it. Because there is a something called, don't come in front of a speeding truck. When the companies are doing very well, you don't know. See, even entrepreneur doesn't know what the hell is going to be the future. But what happens is, when your company is doing well, like I told you about my asset management company,
correct.
From 1,500 crores to 38,000 crores.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of compounding you are talking about? And did I know?
Yeah.
Could anybody tell me that you are going to be so big in this? So nobody knows about the amount of success you can, because this India is very large opportunity. And now it has become very global. So the opportunities for any entrepreneur could come from nowhere, you know. So from anywhere you can imagine. So if company is doing well and is very successful, I mean, unless it is completely insane in terms of price, don't bother too much about it.
Okay, great.
That's my thought process.
Sure, sure,
I would
sure.
not get into a very expensive from day one.
Sure. Okay. So you spoke about entrepreneurship. For someone who's an entrepreneur himself, and someone who meets entrepreneurs possibly every day, once in a, you know, it's a habit because once you research these companies, balance sheet is fine. Of course, you need to know the balance sheet cover to cover. But you also meet the promoter. How do you assess promoter quality, which I believe today has become critically important?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so, and you've seen this over multiple cycles. At one point in time, you could have said that promoter quality didn't matter because there's such a nice tailwind going along.
Today, it has mattered. Yeah. The crooks have never taken to the heaven. They've always taken to the hell.
Okay.
So you have to avoid the crooks, and there are too many of them.
Right.
And not only in India, world over. So, I mean, how do we
identify?
So, see, sometimes what happens is that you go to the known companies like, say, HDFC Group or Tata Group or Birla Group. So you know for sure that this is a clean management. I mean, the management integrity is not in doubt.
Yeah.
See, in management, there are basically three things to be seen: integrity, competence, and passion.
Okay.
Okay. So in India,
you put integrity at the first.
First, but Buffett says competence, energy, and integrity.
Right.
I say integrity, competence, and then the
passion.
Then the passion. Yeah. So you know, basically meeting, after doing all the research, when I love everything is done, cash flow analysis is done, balance sheet is done, notes is done, everything, whatever research is to be read, everything is read, then we go and take appointment with the last at the end. Then I go and meet the management, start from there.
So there is a tip for all the listeners that whenever you're analyzing a company, make sure that you have at least 10-year annual reports.
Yeah, nowadays in electronics, you can get 15 years, 20 years. You can
read them, analyze them, have a base ready, and then and only then do you.
Yeah.
Okay.
As much you can find, I mean, not exactly negatives, but even the positives, why something is like this. So you say, if you do deep work, managements appreciate. Because managements know what you are asking is not a usual question. Whether it is a run-of-the-mill question or you're asking something which uniquely you have found because you have gone through the details.
Yeah.
So that, at least I as a company, listed company, I can tell you whether you know about my company or not.
Sure.
So when you bring sincerity, even managements are very sincere. So then you are able to complete, and I don't expect a lot of negatives to be told by management about his company to me.
Correct.
So negatives have to be confronted with the management by me.
Okay.
So that is a matter of research. So so this management is very important to judge the integrity part of it. And integrity is, again, you know, in the conversation, nobody is going to say I'm a chore or I have compromised value system or I do all kinds of fudging and all. No, no management is going to say. So the issue is that how do you figure it out? So that's where what the environment is saying about him. What is the grapevine? What the competitor is saying? What the colleagues are saying? What the ex-employees are saying? What the bankers are saying? So those things they make up. I mean, as much as you can do scuttlebutt, go around and figure out how they treat the employees. One of the things is you go to the factory or you go to the office, you see how the small employees are being treated. See, CFO and CEOs are being treated in an air-conditioned cabin, that is fine. But how do they treat the small guys? Because we are worse than small guys.
Yeah.
Once you buy the stocks, then you are at his mercy.
Yeah.
If he's treating his employees that badly, he's going to treat me very badly.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be stuck with those kind of guys. So, you do. I mean, you're learning. I would say that I'm not very good at this, but many times because of passion of the promoter or terrific business model, I kind of been pardoning the integrity part of it.
Sure.
And I met because of that one or two hugely very bad accident. Because as now I'm managing more money, the size of the accident and the losses are bigger. So I have to be extremely careful.
Sure.
And that the crooks, I mean, the moment you see the crook, don't even have a cup of tea. Run. You know, don't. Because the bad companies are, the bad quality is going to hurt your portfolio big time.
Yeah. I actually remember one anecdote when I had visited a Hero Honda plant at that point of time when Mr. Brijman Munjal was there.
Yeah, yeah.
I was actually on the shop floor. And you could see the loyalty that the workers have towards him. I think that what you're talking about?
Yes,
you know, where the most, you know, the most basic worker at the shop floor is also treated with a lot of dignity.
Yes.
At the shop floor.
You go to Tesco.
Yeah.
You go and see Tesco. I mean, they treat their factories as their mother. In fact, one of the supervisors, I was asking him, you go back at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, how does this work for the rest of the night?
Mm.
He says, sir, hum khana khake paan khane le aate na, to 2 minute deke chale aate.
Wow.
Do you expect this kind of behavior for a factory guy to come back to the factory again after the food?
Yeah, well, that's what the best of managements do. That's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of confidence they inspire the workers, as against, as we know, a lot of promoters who prefer to travel in fancy cars.
Those things change the image of the management of the company.
Sure.
And it's permanent. I mean, you cannot be visiting the company every day. I mean, what impression you do in that intense 1 month, 2 months work.
Mm.
And then a lot of research happen after you invest.
Sure.
See, till investing, you have done 80-90%.
Mm.
And it is good enough for you to write the check.
Mm.
After you bought a percentage or 2% of the company, then the music starts. Then the quarterly results come. Then the disappointments or enhancements, those start coming in. And you become intensely, I mean, then things are either better than what you thought.
Sure.
Or significantly worse than what you thought.
Okay.
And I hope, I mean, actually my experience is very good with my own research. In bulk of the time, I found things to be as good or better than what I thought before. But one or two accidents, of course.
And they happen, yeah. There's not much that you can... Talking about the accidents, since you mentioned them, any big mistakes that you'd like to share with us? You know, just anecdotes, tips, talks, or anything that you'd like to share with the listeners on the mistake side, on the accident side. Something that maybe you had a lot of conviction and went in with all you think and then something went wrong. Anything to share on that?
Yeah, side? So financial technologies, I mean, just a few years back, I was fascinated by this exchange creating company, you know, like they were creating, I mean, the business was to create exchange in Singapore, in Dubai, in Africa, in India. So I said, exchanges, I mean, if you make one exchange, your statue is put for the whole life.
Yeah, I know, just one.
You know, it's a,
here the
exchange is a monopoly business forever.
Yeah.
So I said, this is a crazy kind of a company, let me buy that.
Mm.
So I, with a lot of effort, I got an appointment with the management and they were very nice and very fair. For 4-5 hours we sat and I bought. And
we know what happened
next. We know what happened after that.
Yeah.
So I bought at 1100 rupees. In 6 months or 8 months time, I sold at 155.
Wow.
So about 1.2 million shares I had.
Wow.
So, you know, the amount, these are like...
It's the, all of the
same. Money. So I had very bad experience and I was cautioned by some people in my profession or my colleagues that be careful with this guy.
Right.
And even before I had bought, I got the kind of some knock on my back saying that, boss, throw a khyal rakhna. This is not your type. This is not your type, he said.
There were people in the market who actually knew that you were.
Yeah.
So this was a much risky investment.
Yeah. So, but I said, boss, this is crazy. The way he's going to make money.
Yeah.
He's going to run 10, 15 exchanges all over the world. Singapore exchange, Dubai exchange, Indian exchange.
Yeah.
Little I knew.
What can go wrong?
What can go wrong? So, so you know, you can be that much wrong. You can be completely blinded.
Yeah.
And we are passionate guys. You know, I mean, we go into the company, try to figure out. And I read a lot of books about the business models.
Sure.
So when I find an exponential business model, where you start little and it just explodes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so, but now I'm realizing that you shouldn't go after the, you know, wherever you have doubts on the integrity of the management. It's all about value system. You know, if the value system of the management of the company is bad, stay away.
Right.
Don't touch with the, and let them do what they're doing. I mean,
you're happy to let a stock go by 10 times, that's fine.
As I've seen I mean, because of all those accidents, I've avoided so many of them. Yeah. Right now, the things which are going to raise to zero, so many big companies, I've avoided all of them. You can imagine, you know, getting sucked into one of them.
Totally.
So we have avoided all of that. And that is my biggest achievement, I would say. But yet, I'm not perfect.
Okay.
In the sense that I still, right now, I'm going through one another problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, these things happen. And this will happen.
Okay.
And you're completely blinded despite your QGLP process, despite the woe I'm taking that. I'll stay away from these crooks and all.
Things can still go wrong.
Things do walk in, creep in somehow.
Last three questions, sir. First, obviously, the advice to a youngster. If someone who wants to, you know, I'm assuming that after listening to you, people want to actually make a career in the stock markets for themselves. Or just in general, you know, because in India is still now very young. So the first question would be on advice to a youngster. I would then get on to your books or the favorite materials that you read. And third is a vision of India. So let's start with the first question. Advice to a youngster.
So one of the things is that I learned a little late, but value is what you get. Price is what you pay.
This, of course, is from Buffett himself.
But there's a difference between price and value. Everybody, and the least important information in the world is the price. And people spend like literally, the whole day is gone in this, looking at the price.
People
have put their screener and six Bloomberg screens. They're just looking at the price.
There's a constant ticker
which
going
has
on and on,
zero value.
Wow.
Okay. But the value, understanding the estimated value is everything. So long as there is a concept of value and price, and stock is all about the value, and nobody wants to apply his mind to understanding value, which because of my CA background and whatever, somehow I got hooked on to understanding underlying value of the businesses. I think the guys who are passionate about understanding value and which is reflected finally in the price, those guys have brilliant future, and this world is going to become far more prosperous than what it is today. Today it is $80 trillion GDP, and next 10 years it will become $160 trillion GDP. So you can imagine the sizes of the businesses and the size of the successes. Okay, so it is a brilliant opportunity for the people who are passionate, who are fanatics about the stock market, who wants to dedicate their life to understanding underlying value. For them, it's absolutely a smooth walk. You know, nothing can come on the way. But the guys who don't like the stock market, who cannot take ups and downs, who don't want to dedicate to reading and understanding underlying value, I think it's a punishment. Howsoever brilliant they are in their academics.
I wanted to just, for you, maybe just 1 minute, tell us about hard work. I think somewhere, you know, maybe I'm old. I just don't see ki aajkal log mehnat karte hain. But the kind of hard work that you've put through in your career, in building this company. What is the value of hard work?
I don't think there is alternative to hard work. But if you're passionate about something you're doing, it's not hard work. I mean, leaving home at 9 o'clock and be here till say 8 or 8:30. I've never taken any work home, never in my life. Being here for 10, 11 hours, I don't think that's hard work. You love. You meet people like you. Some companies will be visiting me, then I'll be going somewhere else. So it's a lot of fun.
There's no difference between work and life.
There are a lot of books, there are a lot of, Financial Times is waiting to be read. So there is a lot happening, you know. So I think if you can make your passion as your profession, that's the ultimate alignment.
Right.
Ultimate alignment. And that's why Mr. Buffett, even at the age of 87, he's having fun. He's managing $500 trillion and has no stress.
And sipping Coke and having his workers and everything. What is it like to meet him for the very first time? What was that experience like?
No, he's like a kid. You see, he's giggling and, you know, like, is a very normal, ordinary guy.
Right.
Destined. In fact, his biggest mistake was buying Berkshire Hathaway itself, which took it. Yeah. So, but if you read Snowball, his biography, then you realize how passionate he was and how enlightened he was. Because of his maybe a little bit of background, his dad was a senator and kind of. So, he got early fascination for the stock market.
Okay.
It is written in his biography. He has said also that by the time it was 11 years of age, he had read all the books possible on a stock market in that State University of Omaha library. I can't believe at the age of 11, I didn't know what is my name.
Talking about books,
maybe
some favorites or anything, you know?
Yeah, books is the only thing which differentiates you. You know, between there are 10,000 chartered accounts every year passing, or 1 million MBAs passing, and even from good school, at least 10,000 are passing. I think the real difference is what you do after that.
Sure.
And that is only through the books. Books and observation and practically doing hard work or in the position.
Sure.
So among the books which has made life very different for me is, of course, Buffett Letters. So you can get now compilation. That's one terrific read. Then some biographies of, Snowball came much later, but now you have benefit of starting with that itself. So that's wonderfully well-written book. Then you realize how much it takes for him to get to his first $1,000. You know, I used to think that I've come hard way, But when I read that, I realized Gurudev has done even harder work. So, so the first investor. Million. So that is one. Then, of course, Intelligent Investor is a wonderful book. I learned a lot by Michael Porter. I would say second guru of mine would be Michael Porter.
Wow.
His competitive strategy, understanding. See, it's like, it is so simple. Like, making money is very easy if there is no competition. A guy who is a vada pav guy sitting in a street, he can make very comfortable money. But a guy who is flying airplanes might be, he is losing money.
Wow.
Despite he is doing such a complex thing. So what is important is, where is the competition? So understanding how the competition works and how in that large game, how competition shapes up is extremely, you have to have good understanding of competition. So Michael Porter has given the five forces framework in late 70s.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other books are written. So Competitive Strategy by Michael Porter is a must read. And so though I was not taught in my school about this book, but maybe you are an MBA, you're also a
child. I'm also,
so you also miss him,
curriculum.
So, but that's one book which helped a lot. Then as we went along, then there is a guy, professor of Columbia called Michael Mobison. He writes wonderfully.
Expectations investing.
Yeah. So, you know, Sanjay called me up, Ramdev, just see what this joker is saying about this expectation investing. You must understand the expectations built into the price.
Yeah.
So what is the difference between this and, so that, I think in that book, he's talked about cost, volume, price mix. How do you build your model?
Expectation investing.
How do you build your expectation?
Right.
What expectations is built into the current price?
Right.
Understanding that is everything, understanding the underlying value and understanding the current price. Then there is another book called Burr William book. What is that called? 1938 classic, Theory of Investment Value by Burr William. It's a thick book. It's a mind-blowing book. It is not very popular.
Right.
But this is the only book where it is explained how price is determined.
Wow. Okay.
On value, EPS, PE, these
book are... Book value, everything.
How price
is determined. Okay.
Most of the guys, I'll tell you, 99% of the people, 99.99% people don't know how price is determined of everything.
Right. Okay.
And particularly stock market, everything is about the price.
Correct. Yeah.
And yet you don't know how the hell it is being determined. You know, when you open in the morning, people say when the demand is more, then the price goes up. Supply is more, then it's good. But in the morning, when even not a stock has traded, how something goes up by 20%.
Right. Yeah.
And how even without a trade, something opens 20% lower. How does it happen? Where's the demand and supply? It is, markets are moved by only opinions.
Yeah.
Today's opinion is today's price. Tomorrow's opinion is tomorrow's price. I would strongly recommend go through that book.
Sure. So, last question.
Yeah.
The investment opportunity. In India, how do you see that panning out in the next 10, 20 years? One recurring theme of the Equity Sahi podcast, Shrey has spoken about a lot about the clarity in which that Motilal looks at a sector for evaluation, the size of the sector, the evaluation, the history of the sector, the evolution of the sector, and how to choose a company. Can I just extend that to India? You know, how do you size up this entire opportunity? Because all of us are here. Hopefully, the stock markets will make money for all of us. Yeah. And hopefully our listeners will also profit from listening to this. How do you, size up this opportunity that this country has to offer?
Yeah. So in 2008, one of the wealth creation studies we wrote was India the next trillion-dollar opportunity. That was 2008. The rupee fell from 45 to 40, and our GDP was about 45 lakh. So clearly we crossed the trillion-dollar mark. That was a trillion-dollar mark. So we said now, it took 60 years for the country to become a trillion-dollar economy.
Sure.
It's 47 to 2007.
Yeah.
Okay. The next trillion-dollar came by 14 in 7-8 years. The third trillion is the current year.
We are almost there.
We are there almost, 2.8, 2.9.
Yeah.
And fifth, as Mr. Modi wants, is by 2024-25. So third, fourth will come in 3 years. Fifth will come in 2.5 years.
Right.
Seventh or eighth will come in 1 year. What took 60 years will take in 1 year. And it is staring at us.
Correct.
So this is the opportunity of India. And it is not happening because of a politician here or there. It is happening because there's a point of time. I think Manmohan Singh or somebody says that time has come for India. This is our time.
Right.
So, this is what we are going to live in next 25, 30 years. And we will go to not only 5 trillion, we'll go to 10 trillion also in our own way. And see, the way to, this is happening. You have to I mean, I have lived 40 years. I have come from $100 billion to $3 trillion now. Yeah. There is no reason for me to believe that we'll not go from 3 to 5 to 10 or whatever. So I'm of the firm belief and optimist that $2,000, world average is $10,000. Yeah. We're not such duffers. We can send Chandrayaan to moon and whatnot.
Yeah.
We run so many, I mean, we run Google, we run Microsoft. I mean,
yeah.
So we should have at least average per capita GDP, which is $10,000 per year across the world. We're not talking about $60,000 of America. So I am optimist and this is going to happen. Now, the issue is that which are the winner categories?
Correct.
And category winners. So are you going to fly a lot more? And which company within that is going to do well? So like that, you have to just keep understanding one by one and make a portfolio.
Yeah.
Diversification within the portfolio gives you a fantastic, it allows you luxury of going wrong.
Yeah.
And yet win.
And you know, like the title of our entire series, Equity Say, you still believe that equity is still the single best asset class. So anyone who wants
only asset class, okay. No effort, sit in the chair and make money.
You don't believe in anything else. This is it. Equity
I live in a rented house.
Folks, that is a wrap on this episode of Equity Sahi Hai. My guest was the absolutely brilliant Ramdev Agrawal, the co-founder of Motilal Oswal Group. I hope you had a lot of fun. Sir, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for having this fantastic episode for our listeners.
Listeners enjoy listening my story.
I am sure they did. I'm sure there are a lot of lessons. And I hope that we can have you back soon as we continue this year. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Sachin Tendulkar, Virat Kohli, Don Bradman, and now Cyrus Brocha. Okay, probably not in the right company. I mean, Don Bradman is Australian. But it's called Cyrus Says, a wonderful show about everything. Find the show on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Cyrus Says is brought to you by Storytel. Keep in mind that if you go through storytel.com/IVM, you get a 30-day free trial as against a 14-day free trial on the link. All right? It's very simple. All you got to do is log on to storytel.com/IVM. Millions and millions and millions of stories, many written by me.
How many times have you motivated yourself to improve your sleep or lose weight or be more productive? How many times have you failed? Hi, my name is Ashton Doctor. Tune into my show, The Habit Coach Podcast, where we focus on creating small, tiny habits to improve your life instead of those big, impossible tasks. So make listening to me a habit every Monday, Wednesday and Friday on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com or on your favorite podcasting app.